Good morning. This is Old Lion, Young Lion, and we are a Bible talk show. And if you haven't been tuning in, this is our 10th episode. We are excited to be on Sunday mornings, WPTR. It is a blast to be here talking about the things that are true and good. Now, our show is called Old Lion, Young Lion because we work for the greatest lion of all time, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and that is Jesus Christ. And we believe that he has set us on mission to uncover truth and declare it boldly. The Bible teaches us that the righteous are bold as lions, and we want to be bold as lions in declaring truth. Now, my name is Anthony, and this is Sam Hazelton as well, who is with us, and we are part of the pastoral team of Electric City Baptist Church, located in Schenectady, New York, on Hamburg Street, and that's 2350 Hamburg Street. And we'd love for you to come join with us in one of our gatherings. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., and we'd love for you to come and be a part of what we got going on over there at Electric City Baptist. Now, our show, Old Lion, Young Lion, has a new campaign. If you'd like to reach out to us about a Bible question or a topic that you'd like discussed on the show, you can reach out to us at oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. We are giving away the very first piece of merchandise from Old Lion Young Lion for anybody whose topic makes it on the air for our show. Now, we've been very excited over the past 9 weeks, and we continue to move on preaching truth and declaring it boldly and righteously. Make sure you tune in every Sunday morning to hear what we got going on and what we're talking about. We have a little bit of a tradition on this show, and that is that we start every single show with a word of prayer. So if you're out there with us, we'd ask that you join us for a moment as our resident old lion here, Sam Hazelton, is going to lead us in prayer. Would you do that for us this morning, Sam?
Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this opportunity this morning to talk with Anthony. We love digging into the Bible. Father, we love the cosmic drama. We love being part of it, this conflict between good and evil, and we are so thankful to be on the winning side. Father, I pray today that as we open up your word in the book of Colossians, that you would open our eyes to see so that we would not be taken captive by the philosophies of the world, but rather we would triumph through the truth of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And, you know, we pray a blessing over all those that are listening, and we hope that as you're on this journey with us and in your own journey, that you find a blessing from God as he kind of leads you closer and closer to truth. Now, we've been in the book of Colossians for the last few weeks, and it has been just an amazing blessing to me. How about you, Sam? How have you liked this book of Colossians so far?
Well, I would say that it's been colossal.
Ba-dum-bum.
So let me give a quick recap of some of the things we covered. I can't get into all of it today, but one of the first things that we saw was Paul was talking about how the gospel as seed was planted in the hearts of the Colossians, and it was growing and bearing fruit. The other thing we saw, there is the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. They are in conflict. We've been talking about this cosmic drama since the very beginning, and these kingdoms are in conflict. We talked about the origin of that kingdom of darkness with Satan and the fallen angels and the demonic spirits. We also talked about the kingdom of his beloved son, the kingdom of light, and we've been literally translated out of that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son, and we challenged you to examine yourself and say, hey, which kingdom am I a part of? And we learned that those who are in the kingdom of darkness are alienated from God, and they're hostile in their minds. In fact, sometimes people that are in the kingdom of darkness, one way to tell is you go and you try to talk to them about God. You try to talk to them about the Bible, and they react. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to talk about it. They kind of put their hands over their ears. And so that's an indicator of somebody who is alienated from God and hostile in mind.
I love this review of our first couple of weeks in Colossians. There's an idea in overarchingly through Scripture that states this: choose ye this day whom you will serve. The Bible says, if Baal be God, then serve him. If a false god be God, then serve him. But if our Lord God, the Most High God, be God, then serve God. And what Sam just did is lay at your feet a choice that you have to make as to whether or not you will serve the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. And I think that needs to be ever present in our minds as we think of this book in the book of Colossians.
Yes, indeed. We also talked about the Apostle Paul as the lightning rod. He was diverting Satan's wrath that was targeted toward him, and the rest of the church throughout the empire grew and prospered because all of those lightning strikes were hitting at Paul himself, who spent a lot of time in prison, was beaten many times, was whipped many times, shipwrecked. He had all kinds of things happen to him, but he was glad to take those hits in behalf of the Church of Jesus Christ.
Paul actually wrote this letter while he was in prison.
Correct.
To a group of people that are called the faithful saints of Jesus Christ. So you've been getting to explore this small book with us, but it's packed with power. We got into chapter 2, and Paul begins to write instructions and write advice and counsel to these people who call themselves Christians. And if you've been coming along with us on this journey, you found out last week that we mentioned that Paul says that Jesus, inside of Jesus, in the person of Jesus, is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus is not just a taskmaster that's looking to ruin your fun. Quite the opposite. He is someone inviting you into all joy and offering you all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
There is, and we have to understand, in this conflict between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, Paul was also involved in prayer. And this was a struggle that characterized his entire life. It was like a death match, like a cage match. He was in the octagon against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And we have to understand that when we experience tribulation and trials in this earth, when we experience conflict with people in this world, we have to recognize that there's a spiritual reality behind those conflicts. Our enemy is not the person that we're in conflict with. Our enemy is the spiritual hosts of wickedness that are inspiring these fights. The wickedness that is inside of people, that indwelling sin that Christ died to eliminate.
And I think that gives us almost a perfect stepping stone into what we're looking at this week. Wow, the book of Colossians is, in my opinion, you know, it's my favorite book in the whole Bible. I've made no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I love this book, and I encourage everyone to really dig into it on their own time. When we're looking at what's happening here in the middle of chapter 2, you may ask the question, why is Paul writing this to the church? What is the purpose for Paul in the middle of prison saying, I got to get this information to these people? And by extension, why does Paul need to get this information to us today?
Well, we see in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, so he's praying so that you might walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Wow.
So Paul is understanding that there are forces, spiritual forces, that are working against the Colossian church. And he is writing to them to remind them of who they are in Christ. He's writing to them to remind them of what Christ has done for them through the gospel so that they won't be tricked by these spiritual hosts of wickedness. So they won't be led astray. So they won't be led off the path. He wants them to be with their eyes on Jesus Christ, walking forward in victory.
And I think as you study scripture with us through these verses, it will be wise of you to pause while you're studying, and every few verses, remember what's the purpose of what's happening here. What's the purpose of why Paul wrote this? What's the mission that he's trying to put you on? And how can this help you? So let's move on. So we're in Colossians chapter number 2, and we're picking up in verse number 6. And as the old lion here was talking about, you're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And the way that we do that is right here in verse 6. I want to read this verse to you, and I want you to really think about it. The Bible promises that God's word will not return void. So as I read this, we're believing on this show that this verse that I read to you will multiply, will grow, that you'll understand it, and it will start a seed of knowledge and truth that starts to grow in your heart and becomes true in your life. Here's what the Bible says, and this is what Paul writes to these faithful brethren. He says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him." What Paul is saying is this battle that you're in, the way that you walk in this life, the way that you take every single day, the way that you take every single week, and the way that you take every single month, you do it in the same fashion that you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So that means that we have to stop and ask the question, how can one know the Lord Jesus Christ? When the Bible talks about this idea, what it's getting at is this, that by faith, by believing that Jesus is the Son of God, you can receive Christ into your life. So when we come to this idea that as you have received Christ, this is the same way that you walk, this is the instruction to all those that are going through something extremely difficult, is that you need to walk by faith. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're hurting. I don't know what's going on in your life, but let me encourage you something. And what Paul is also encouraging you in is that this life, you need to be able to walk by faith. You can't have faith that your job will last forever. You can't have faith that political institutions will last forever. You can't have faith that even your house will last forever. But what you can have faith in, and how you can have steadfastness and boldness and strength, is that you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
We have to understand that God really, in his heart, cares about us deeply. He's a loving Father, and so we have to know this and believe this in our heart. So no matter what we're facing, what we're seeing on the outside, everything looks like it's falling apart. Everything looks like it's going to end very, very badly. We have to understand two things. One, God loves us and cares for us. And number two, he has all power to change every situation. And we can stand there and see his salvation come into even our most difficult circumstances.
And I absolutely love that, because as the chapter goes on in Colossians 2, verse number 7 tells us that we need to be rooted and built up. We need to be rooted and built up and established in the faith of Christ Jesus. So what we have here is a call to you to walk by faith, and then a promise that as you do walk by faith, you begin to be rooted and built up. Now, what does that mean, rooted and built up? I think this is a really good question that you might ask about what is rooted and built up. So, Old Lion, Sam, why don't you give us a little example? What might it look like that in your faith you can be rooted and built up?
Well, it goes back to that idea that we saw in chapter 1 about the seed. And so every root comes from a seed. And as we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are strengthened day by day. It's like an athlete going to the gym. Every day he's going in there and he's pumping iron. And each day he's adding a little bit of weight. He's getting stronger and stronger. He's getting built up. This is what the power of love does in the Christian church. As we care for one another, as we demonstrate the love of God, as we experience the love of God, we as a body of believers and as individuals become stronger and stronger.
And again, what an awesome thought. And who out there among us hasn't wished to be more rooted and more built up? Who out there would desire that your life not be falling apart every week, that everything doesn't feel like it's going to break and snap? You're at your end of your wit at the end of every single month, and Christ is offering a firm foundation that you can be built upon. And then in Colossians 2, verse 7, Paul drops this little unique piece of counsel and advice that anybody can take. And he says this, that I want you to abound in thanksgiving. Most of us are only thankful maybe during the holidays. Most of us are only thankful when we think about the things that we've gotten. We've counted the blessings that we have. But Paul is counseling you and advising you that everything you do should be surrounded with thanksgiving. And the Bible in the Old Testament teaches us this this little proverb that says that we should enter into God's gates with thanksgiving. And you want a surefire way to turn your day around today? Maybe you should be thankful for some of the things that you have. And I think Paul does very well and is wise to choose these words that we should abound in thanksgiving. And then right after that, right after this, Paul gives a warning in verse number 8. And I think this warning is so important for us to understand. Let's read it, Sam. Why don't you read verse number 8?
Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elementary principles of the world, and not according to Christ.
Wow. What a verse. When I read this, the immediate thing that pops out to me is that I believe the system of how the world is set up is out to lie, destroy, and take away the things that kind of are the essence of my own humanity.
When you see something like this, there's a warning there to not be taken captive by the philosophies of the world, the philosophies of deception. And so I wrote down just a few of the philosophies of this world that I think are typical of the way the world thinks and the way the world believes. One principle that you hear about in the world a lot is that people are basically good and that everyone really is bound for heaven. Everyone, when they die, they're going to be received into heaven, except maybe the really bad people. And so this is one philosophy of the world, of the basic goodness of people. But as we learned in Genesis chapter 3, that from the very beginning, man had only one rule to follow: do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they weren't even able to keep that one rule. So we learn from this cosmic drama that man is not basically good. They're continuously falling into sin and difficulty. There's something wrong with the human condition.
And I think if you're honest out there, you might have compassion. You might feel like that we want to look in the good for others. And that's true. You should do that. But if we're all being honest, we can recognize that the world at large is exceedingly sinful. Things are bad, are happening all around us all the time. So I think that's good that you point that out.
Another deception that's in the world that most people believe, and that you hear this all the time, is that people don't change. And if you are a certain way today, you're always going to be that way. For example, people say if somebody's an alcoholic, the traditional earthly wisdom is that once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Once a drug addict, always a drug addict. Once a pedophile, always a pedophile. That people don't change at all. And so this is a philosophy of the world, but it runs contrary to the scripture, which says that, hey, such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God. And so this is a philosophy of the world that runs counter to the testimony of scripture.
And I think if you just look at the very end of this verse in Colossians 2:8, Paul is telling us that these philosophies and traditions of men are not after Christ. They're anti-Christ. And we see the world raise this objection that says that no one can change. We see it and we raise them an even further stakes. We say, hey, listen, by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, men can be transformed from the power of darkness into the power of light. We reject the idea that men will be and only ever will be lost and doomed for a terrible and awful life, but can be redeemed by the renewing of their mind, by the change of their heart, being born again by the Spirit of God. And we tell you openly and unashamedly, without embarrassment and no fear, that God can change you and your circumstances. And how does he do it? As we have therefore received Christ, so walk we in him by faith. We walk not by sight, but by faith. We reject the world's view that seeks to destroy humanity, and we call all of you out there that are listening to place your faith in Jesus Christ so that he can do the change.
A third deception of the world, one of these philosophies of the world that we hear all the time, and you'll recognize this if you were brought up in public school like we were, or I was. I don't think Pastor Anthony went to those schools.
No, I did not.
But if you were raised in the public school, you were taught that people are nothing but a biological machine.
Wow.
We are just these machines of biology. We're a product of our cells that work together and our nervous system and these biological systems. And that's all that we are. And so as the Bible mockingly says, if that's all it is, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. We came from nothingness, and we're going to dissolve into nothingness. There's nothing before, there's nothing after. And so this is a philosophy of the world that we're just biological machines. And so when people have spiritual problems, people have mental problems, the world says, here, take this pill, take that pill, take this shot, take that shot. They think that somehow they can inject something into this biological machine to make it all better, not realizing what the Bible teaches is that we as human beings are a three-part being. We are body, soul, and spirit. We find this in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, if you want to look that up. The body is that part of you that can be seen and touched and felt. The soul is the mind, the will, the intellect, the emotions. This spirit is that part of you that can communicate with God, with the spiritual realm. Your spirit is that, it's like a walkie-talkie that's inside of you. We're body, soul, and spirit. And so we are a complex triune being. And in this capacity, we have a soul that needs care. We have a spirit that needs to be revived and connected to God. We have a body that needs to be brought into subjection underneath our spirit and underneath our soul through the influence of the Holy Spirit.
And you might ask, why are these guys being so forward and powerful about some of this content in the book of Colossians? When the Bible starts a verse out with beware, we find that it is our duty as Old Lion and Young Lion, to righteously and boldly proclaim this warning out to as many people as we possibly can. That there has been a lie that has been sold to the world that you are nothing but a bag of bones, and that is simply not true. And if you'll look yourself in the mirror and you'll contemplate that thought for a second, I believe that you'll come to that same conclusion and you'll heed the warning of Paul that you should beware of these vain deceits and philosophies and traditions of men.
Our soul and our spirit, these are part of our immaterial being. You can't measure it. It doesn't weigh anything on the scale. But these are, the soul and the spirit were designed and built by God to live forever. Do you understand that as a person, don't think that when your body rests finally and you die, as is the end of all mankind, that your consciousness is going to cease. Your soul is going to go on. Your spirit is going to go on. It is going to live forever. The Bible teaches that you're going to live forever somewhere. Those who have done evil will live forever separated from God in hell. Those who have pleased God by faith will live forever with God in heaven.
I think this is a very important note for us to understand that you are an eternal being. That also means that you have an eternal purpose. And if you've gone through this winter and you felt things just aren't right, and I don't have value, I don't feel like my public institutions are bringing me value, I don't feel like my friend groups are bringing me value, let me tell you something, that the one who created you, the one Jesus Christ, has a mission and purpose for you. He cares for you. He desires to see you have life and life more abundant. And he calls you to place your faith in him. This book of Colossians is packed with so much truth. And as we're walking through it, we want to invite you into this study with us. Now, this is not a show that's filled with a political commentary or we're going to talk about our hobbies. Now, we might have a little fun or discuss maybe some biblical topics that are enjoyable, but our show is primarily to uncover truth and proclaim it boldly. We want to look into the book of Colossians from now until we get to the end of this chapter and to the end of this book, and we want to show you Jesus Christ through the pages of Scripture, what he's done for us, and what he can do for you.
There's one other thing about this makeup of humankind. We mentioned that we have body, soul, and spirit. And I want to mention one other thing. Jesus Christ said this. He said, the day is coming when all who are in the tombs will be resurrected, some to the resurrection of the just, some to the resurrection of judgment. And so we have to understand that our soul and our spirit, as we know, they're immaterial, they are eternal. But there is coming a day, even after somebody dies, your grandfather, your grandmother, their body may be decomposing and resting in a cemetery somewhere. But Jesus says when he returns, he is going to raise up everyone out of the grave. Their body is going to be resurrected, and it's going to be reunited with their soul and spirit. And then as a whole being, body, soul, and spirit, we will, those of us who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, will be with Jesus Christ forever. Those who have refused Jesus Christ have decided, hey, I'm going to do it my own way. I don't really believe in this mumbo jumbo. Those people, they have no basis for getting their sins forgiven, because it is by the blood of Jesus that our sins are washed away and forgiven. So I want to encourage you today, as we really didn't get very far. We only looked at two or three verses today.
Great verses.
But we have to understand that the world is telling you one narrative. The world is giving you one version of what it sees, and the Bible is giving you a different narrative. You're going to have to decide today, which of these two narratives do you believe?
Wow, chew on that. We're going to ask you to think on that this week. Be seriously introspective about what you heard today. And then we're just going to remind you that we'd love to hear from you. Reach out to us at oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. We have more to come, and we're excited for all of 2024. We hope that you have a blessed day.
See you at church.